as a musician, I always used to joke, because you guys have seen me do my, like my board up here, and you know I can't spell. And so I'm very dependent on spell check, and I'm very dependent on that little red line that comes up underneath there. So, but in college, I used to joke that it was nice that I was a musician, because I didn't need to know how to spell. I just needed to know A through G sharp. Because then after that, it just repeats. And I only needed to count to four if I were going to play rock and roll. Six, sometimes. And then I played in the orchestra for Man La Mancha. And man, oh man, that Spanish guitar has got some time signatures. I had to learn how to count way higher than six. That was nuts. I want to do a counting exercise this morning as we get started. Okay? Ready? We'll see how far up we can go. I've only got so many fingers, and I can take my shoes off if we need to. Are you ready? All right, count with me. Good to give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. There we go. That's all we need. That's all we need today is one. One. Let's read the scripture here from John. So the amazing claim is what we're going to be talking about today. That was probably in my notes. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. Or if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And then Thomas speaks up, and Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, and this is the sixth I am statement in John's gospel. He picks seven, so this is the second to last I am statement. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus makes a very, very bold claim, an amazing claim. And this is our final sermon in this series, the amazing series, these amazing sermons. And we're ending with this amazing claim. There is Jesus, and he is the way. The way. Jesus doesn't say, I am a way. I'm a better way. I'm one of the many ways, but I'm the most sure way. I'm a way that's, you know, you can take other ways. I'm just another way. He doesn't say that at all. He says very clearly, I am the way. Let's write this down. There is a single road that leads to God. There is a single road. Everyone say one. There is a single road that leads to God. And that is Jesus. There is a single road that leads to God, and that is Jesus. Jesus made it very clear. There's no other way. There's no other way to get into heaven. There's no other way to have a relationship with God. There's no other way. There's no other way but then through Jesus. Earlier in John's gospel, in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about this in another one of the I am statements where he says, I am the gate. And he talks about the sheep pen. The sheep pen only has one entry. It only has one door. You go in, you come out. There's only one way. Everyone say one. Without my notes, we're probably going to say that a whole lot because I want to need help. There's only one way in and out. And I believe I had a scripture here. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a what? A thief and a robber. So Jesus says very plainly, there's a sheep pen and there's only one way in and out. There's only one gate. There's only one way in. Anyone who tries to enter in any other way is not entering in by the right means. And since they're not entering in by the right means, they must have the wrong intentions. Their intentions are dangerous for the sheep. If they're entering in by a different way, trying to get into a different way, trying to teach you a different way, trying to say a different way is okay, are you with me? We can't go on good intentions. We can't say, well, their heart's in the right place. No, no. I just called Barb. It's great to see you here, Barb. She's up and about. That's amazing. She broke her back last week. Good to have you. Be careful when you hug her. There's only one way in and out. And anyone else that comes in, Jesus says, they're thieves and robbers. They're dangerous to the sheep. They have the wrong intentions. And they're just wrong, period. Later, a few verses down, Jesus says this. He says, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate. Earlier said there's a gate, and you come in and out. And so he says, I am the gate. It's singular. There's one gate. And Jesus says, guess what? I'm that gate. I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. He says it twice, just in case you missed it the first time. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Will be what? Man, you guys, authority, I like it this morning. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think that was the end, yes. I am the way. There's no other way. There's one way into the sheep pen. There's only one way in. And we live in a world that fully supports that there are multiple ways. And we are pressured to believe and to keep our vocal down about one way. Jesus said there's no other way to God except through me. He was very clear about that. He was mixing no words. I am the way. There's no other way. But we live in a world where people are saying there's a lot of ways. There's all sorts of ways to God. Church, we can't buy into that. We cannot let that influence us in the very least. We're being called intolerant because we teach what Jesus teaches. He's the way. Church, there's no other way. He says, I'm the way and I'm the what? I'm the truth. Once again, not a truth, not a better truth, not a more clear truth, not a more revealed truth. He is the truth. It's a top shelf description he goes to. Let's write this down. There is a single truth that leads to God. And it is who? Jesus. There is a single truth that leads to God. And it is Jesus. Truth. See, we believe in what's called absolute truth as Christians. We live in a world that believes in relative truth. Which I think saying absolute truth is very redundant. Because truth should be absolute if it's truth. That's my poor logic as just, you know, just a mere human being. If truth is truth, truth should be truth. If gravity is gravity, then I should jump off the stage and hit the ground. Right? I shouldn't be able to matrix, you know, pull my feet up and just kind of float. Doesn't work. Truth is truth. It's not relative. See, relative truth is a description of truth that truth changes from person to person. That what you observe, what you perceive as truth, is different from what I perceive as truth. And in the world we live in says that's okay. That's perfectly fine. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and we'll all get along because we'll just say it's okay to believe different things. You can have what's true for you, and I'll have what's true for me. And what's true for you is based on your experiences. And what's true for me is based on my experiences. And that's part of the problem, is we're basing truth on experiential truth not realized truth, not understood truth, not truth that we've been given by truth itself. Relative truth, that truth changes from circumstance to circumstance. That in different situations, truth is different. That's relative truth. And Christians, we have this pushing in on us from all sides. And let me remind you, there is what? There's one truth. There is one truth. And that is Jesus Christ. The very beginning of John's gospel, he talks about how Jesus came full of grace and truth. In chapter 4, he talks about how the woman at the well and how we should worship, that we as worshipers, we should worship in spirit, and I can't remember the other word there, in spirit and truth. Truth is very important for us. It was very important for John as he introduced Jesus in his gospel. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about how truth, how knowing the truth, not a truth, not a more realized truth, not a better truth, not a more clear truth, knowing the truth leads to freedom. It results in freedom. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And a few verses down from that, he says, and if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I love those words. I love those words. There's one truth, and that truth will set you free. And we know truth. Here in John 14, Jesus says, I am the truth. I'm truth with a heartbeat. I'm truth with a breath. I'm truth with arms and legs. We know Jesus. The person Jesus. We know the person who is truth, who is the truth, who is a singular truth. There's no other truth that leads to God but through Jesus. And church, we need to be reminded of this because we've got a lot of other voices around us in the world that we live in that says that there are other truths that we can accept that will lead to eternal life. There are other truths that we can that will lead us to God. And your truth, and they go into that relative truth thing, your truth is okay for you. And that's how they water us down. That's how they kind of push us aside and just kind of, you know, your truth is fine for you, but my truth is what I'm going to believe, and my truth is fine because my truth is going to get me to God too. But as Christians, we believe and understand there's one truth. There's one truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. There's no other truth that leads you to God. And we need to be reminded, church. This is a little bit old school preaching today. I was pretty excited. I'm really bummed about my notes, but I think I'm remembering some of them. There's one truth, and we need to be reminded of that. Because we're being bombarded with a lot of other things that are so-called true. And they're not. And they're not. And we can't accept them as true. And we can't let our loved ones and our friends, we can't even let our enemies go on believing that that truth is going to lead them to the place that they think it is. Because we know there's one truth that leads to God. There's no other way to God except through Jesus. There's one truth, one truth and one life. There's only one life that was lived here on earth that's going to lead us to God. There's only one life that's going to lead us to God. And that is the life of Jesus. Let's write that down. There is a single life that leads to God. There's a single life that leads to God. And it is Jesus. The life that he lived here. The life that he gave. There's only one life. There's only one person in all of existence whose life leads to God, whose life connects us to God. There is nothing else. There is no other way except through Jesus, except through his life. And if his life is what leads to God, then as Christians, there's only one life to live. And as the world turns, There's only one way we can hear God say, "You're all my children." Because there's only one guiding light. I don't care if you're young, restless, bold, or beautiful. And there was another one in my notes that I can't remember. There we go. These are the days of our lives. That was at the beginning. And I couldn't tie in General Hospital. That didn't work. Why do they even call them soap operas? There's no singing. Yeah, where's the, and you don't even, yeah, my mom used to watch those. There's one life, and this is where I got off. There's one life to live. There's only one life to live for us. If there's only one life that leads to God, then there's only one life for us to live. That just makes sense. There's only one life for us, and that is living in the very footsteps of Jesus, our Savior. There's no other way. Jesus says it's narrow, the road that leads to heaven. And it's narrow because there's one set of footprints. And all of us, we're walking in one set of footprints. That's really the goal of being a Christian. If there's one life and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, then there is no other way to live other than in the very footprints of Jesus. The road doesn't even need to be a road. All it is a path with footprints that we follow. And really, Christians, the second when we start stepping in our own footprints and making our own footprints, we've stepped out of the road. We've stepped off the road. Sometimes we step further away. But really the goal, church, is to come back because there's only one life. There's only one life that matters. There's only one life that leads to God, and that's Jesus. And we should be following that life. And we should never veer from that. And this morning's a reminder to all of us that if you've even got one foot out of Jesus' footprints, repent today and put your foot right back in the footprints. I remember as a kid walking down the beach. You know? How many of you guys did that? I mean, we don't have any beaches here in Ohio, but I grew up in North Carolina. Whose footprints were those that I was following? My dad. Church, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. There's one way, one truth, one life. No one. No what? One. So that's one on the other side of things. Let's write that down. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Actually, I had that back up so we could reread that. That's okay. You guys can reread it yourself. And the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The amazing claim. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. No one. No one. Church, I know we've heard this. And I think that we've all believed this at one point in time because we, for ourselves, we gave our life to Christ because we knew there was only one way, one truth, one life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's why we gave our life to Christ. That's why we were baptized into Jesus Christ. That's why we said, I am yours, just like the scripture we talked about last week. Give to God what is God's. I'm yours. Because there's nothing else. There is no other way. There is no other way to God except through Jesus. And I hope that all of us believed that when we gave our life. And I hope that all of us continue to believe that today. But what I see around me, and I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about in our society, in our culture. I'm not seeing a brand of Christianity that supports that. I'm seeing a brand of Christianity that's been influenced by these other ways, that's been influenced by these other truths, that's been influenced by these other lives. And either we're afraid and we're ashamed to say that we believe that Jesus is the only way, because that's a bold claim. That's a very bold claim. And if it's false, I mean, let's go down this road. Let's go down a hypothetical road, not a road I believe. I want to make it very clear about that. Let's go down that road. If it's false, then Jesus is the most arrogant narcissist you've seen in history. You can't believe his other teachings and write this teaching off and say that he was just a good teacher. Because if the other teachings are right and this teaching's wrong, he was not a good teacher at all. To say that he's the only way and there's no other way to the Father except through him, if that's false, he's not a good teacher. You can't accept any of his teaching. You can't say that he was just a good moral man. No, he was an arrogant narcissist if this is a false claim. I'm the only way. That's bold. The only truth, the only life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's either true or those are the words of an arrogant narcissist. You can't call him a good moral man. You can't believe in some of his other moral teaching and say, well, these are, it's good to love your neighbor. That's good moral teaching. But this other stuff about being the only way, no, I can't believe that. You got to take it all or throw it all out. You can't even say that he was a good prophet, because a good prophet would not present something so false, so self-centered as that. If. Big if, not even an if for me, it were false. But if it's true, I believe it is, and I believe that you believe that it is, then those words can only be accepted by or from one that we accept as our Lord, as our Savior, as our King. And it's his kingdom that he's king over. His rules, not ours. We're not the ones that determine the truth or the way or the life. We're not the ones that determine that there are other ways. If he is our Lord, our King, our Christ, our ruler, the authority in our life, then what he says goes, correct? And if he says there is no other way, then Christians, that's what we believe. And we only believe that because we believe that he is the Christ, God's Son. Let me remind you of that belief this morning, church. There's only one way. I hope that Christians are simply afraid to say that. I hope that's the case. Because otherwise, Christians have just stopped believing. And that's a big deal. Because if we're not being vocal, it's either because you're afraid. I mean, who wants to speak out and make that relationship awkward? Who wants to speak out and look like a radical? Who wants to speak out and maybe offend someone? I tell you what, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not politically correct. And if you want to be politically correct, then you probably need to find a different belief system. And I'm not being cruel, and I don't want to encourage anyone to leave the faith. But the faith is what it is. And it's going to be offensive. It's going to be offensive, but it's offensive as opposed to defensive. See, I'd like to believe that we're scared. That we're scared to say those things because the alternative is that we've stopped believing it. And that scares me. This is the message of the gospel. Peter wasn't afraid to share it. Jesus spoke it as truth, and Peter, when he was arrested and brought before the teachers of the law, the very group that sent Jesus to the cross, and Peter standing before them after healing a man in the temple in Acts chapter 4, And they're telling him, no, you can't speak the name of Jesus anymore. Actually, they ask him, first of all, whose name did he heal this guy in? And he says it was Jesus. And we get this little snippet here. Salvation is found in no one else. Peter, before the teachers of the law, knowing this very possibly could result in his death. And we're worried about a friendship. We're worried about feeling awkward at the next Christmas dinner. Peter, facing death, very realistically facing death, says there is, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There's no other way. Peter was listening when Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 14, just after he had had his feet washed by Jesus at the Last Supper. And Peter was listening. And it stuck. And he stands before the teachers of the law and he says, there is no other way. Where are we, church? Do we believe that strongly? That being put in even the extreme, and knock it back to the not extreme. How bashful are we with that truth? Or have we just stopped believing it? Because if you believe it, you're going to stand up for it. If you believe it, you're going to speak it. If you believe it, you're going to share it. Because if that is truth, that there's only one way to God, then everyone else finding these other ways, everyone else finding these other truths, everyone else living these other lives, they're all being deceived. They're all following thieves and robbers, thinking they have arrived in the sheep pen. But there's only one gate. There's only one way. And Peter shared it. And Paul wasn't afraid to share it. Paul shared it to Timothy. Paul reminds Timothy. So reflection, we'll get there. Oh, we'll have to come back. Let me hit this scripture then, and then we'll come back. Sorry, Jim. I've been doing 100% so far. For there is... We only have to count the one today. There's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Paul wanted to remind Timothy of that because Paul knew that that was going to be challenged because it's such a radical claim. It's such an amazing claim that it is going to be challenged. And so we have that reflection question. We can go back and catch that. Or actually, forward works too. Is this our message today? Let's write that down. Is this our message today? I remember when I was a youth minister up in Columbus, south part of Columbus, Ohio. And we had a little girl at that time. She wasn't too far separated from our ages. We were in our early 20s. She was, probably 14, 15. And she came from a split family, and it was a split family over a belief system. See, if we don't believe that Jesus is the only way, and maybe it is that we don't want to believe that there's a hell. Maybe we don't want to believe that. Because that's not politically correct. That's not comfortable. And I hear this a lot from Christians. Oh, he was a good person. Oh, he did great things for people. He loved people. He cared for people. There's one thing that matters when it comes to eternity. There's one thing that matters between heaven and hell, and that is Jesus Christ. That's not a fun thought to think. But it's true. There's only one way. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Now, after after you accept Jesus, then yes, it matters very much that you were a good person, that you did good things for other people, that you loved and cared for other people, because those are expected of a Christian, of someone walking in the footsteps of Jesus. So I wonder if we really believe this claim. I wonder if we've thrown out the belief in hell, because that's kind of popular. And there's a brand of so-called Christians that don't believe in hell. And that's what caused this split with this little girl's family, and they're called the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in hell. They'll tell you to go to their website. They'll tell you right there on their website that they do not believe in eternal fire. They do not believe in eternal punishment. They do not believe in hell. And we're sitting at the table with this little 14, 15-year-old girl whose dad was a Jehovah's Witness and whose mom was not, and didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus or any kind of religion, because the Jehovah's Witnesses had put such a pressure on their marriage that she didn't want any part of the church. And he said, well, if you don't want part of the church, then I don't want part of you. And we're sitting at the table with this little 14, 15-year-old girl. And we're looking through the Bible, and she wants to know, how do I become a Christian? How do I give my life to Jesus? And we're talking about baptism. We're talking about commitment and living a life of commitment. And as we're looking at different verses in the Bible, she says, my Bible doesn't say that. I was like, what do you mean? She said, well, that part in that verse about hell, my Bible doesn't say that. Really? We come across another verse. That verse isn't even in my Bible. It was another verse about hell. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they've pulled all of the references to hell out of their Bible. And church, if we're going to pull references out of the Bible, then we might as well just be reading the Jehovah's Witness Bible. If we're not going to believe that there's only one way into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. So choose today. What is your message going to be? What is your message going to be? See, in this one truth, this one way, this one life, the fact that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, it should drive everything we do. That is the single most important thing that you have encountered in your life. Nothing else matters near as much as that. And that should be the single driving force in all of our lives. It should be the single driving force here at church. How is that worded? Is this the driving force? Where is it? It should be. There we go. Is this message the driving force? Thank you, Jesse. Is this message the driving force behind what we do as a church? We're getting better. The driving force at our church, it can't be about people's opinions. It can't be. It can't be about clothing or music styles or, you know, time or temperature or someone sat in your seat. It can't, you think I'm joking. It can't be about that. The driving force behind what we do as a church, behind the decisions we make, it has to be about this truth. And it's about time that Miami Town Church of Christ is governed by one truth. The truth that drove the early church. The truth that drove Peter eventually to being a martyr for the faith. Paul. All of the other disciples minus Judas. It's time that our church is governed by that one truth, and that everything we do is driven by that one truth, and that everything we do is driven by that message, the message of the gospel. It is arguably the single reason why the entire Bible was written and left for us was that one message, that there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. It's why Jesus came and died. It's why he rose from the dead. It's so that he could show us, open the door for us, be the gate, be the way, be the truth, be the life, so that we could have a way to God, because there was no other way. When Jesus was in the garden, and I think this was a scripture up a little bit earlier. Did I talk about him in the garden yet? No. When Jesus was in the garden, and he's arrested, and they seize Jesus, Peter pulls out his sword, and he strikes one of the soldiers and chops off his ear. An amazing scene. Jesus heals the man immediately, and then he says this, Patty, can we go back? Okay, thank you very much. She's right with me. Jesus turns to Peter. He says, put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father? I love this. Do you not think I can call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? We talked about a legion a few weeks ago in this series. A legion was 6,000 soldiers. So you do the math on your own time. 12 times 6,000. 12 legions of angels. But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? Church, I assure you, if there was any other way, Jesus would not have gone through what he went through. If there's another way to have a relationship with God, to be forgiven for our sins, if there is any other way, one other way other than Jesus, then Jesus' death, his suffering, his blood, his life given, that was all useless. If there's another way, there is no other way, and that's what Jesus was saying. It must happen this way. It must be this way. It must happen. He had to die. He had to die for our sins. There was no other way. And church, when we come together and we worship, we come together here, this time is to worship God. And so I do understand that you want to sing songs that are familiar with you, with songs that you know. I get that because that helps to aid your worship. But our time of worship can't be about the method. It has to be about the meaning. And when we gather to worship, we gather as a family to worship and to thank Jesus for dying for us. To thank God for sending Jesus because there was no other way. And we should come every Sunday with grateful hearts. And if it's a song we've sung a million times or a song we've never heard before, if it worships God, then we should do all we can to share in that, because our heart cries out and thanks him gratefully. We're going to be looking at some things here in the future of the church. We're going to need to make some adjustments as we go through this renewing the focus. We don't know exactly what they are yet. We've got teams put together, and you're going to hear more about this in the bulletin, and different things are going to be reported to you. We've got coordinators of different teams, and as these teams do their things, a demographics team and a SWAT team, and we're going to be doing some teaching stuff in the next few months. And as these things move forward, we're going to discover some things that we don't know yet. A vision and a place that God has for us as a church. And every bit of that is driven under this understanding that there is one way. And we need to do all we can as a church to help others to see that. Through our personal message as Christians. And through what drives us as a church. That there's one way to God, and we need to do everything we can to help people to see and understand and come to know that. There's a single road that leads to God, and that's Jesus. There's a single truth that leads to God, and that's Jesus. There's a single life that leads to God, and that's Jesus. It's an amazing claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus.